4. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome into the studio Fairhope City Councilman Corey Martin. And good morning, Corey.
Good morning. Good morning, Lori. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Nice to have you back with us.
Oh, yes. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure as always.
We have the City Council joining us generally the second and fourth Monday because the Fairhope City Council meetings are the second and fourth Monday nights. We start at 4:30 with a work session that I printed, and it's sitting on the printer. If you've got it in front of you, let me know if there's anything on there that you would like to address. Now, I know often the work session is something that a department head or someone else has put on the agenda as a presentation, and you may be learning about it for the first time.
Yes, yeah, sometimes. A lot of things when they present in the work session is for us to get educated on what's going on or what they want to go on in the future as far as business is concerned. But there's a couple of things on here. I know this Coastal Resilience Index is something I think we did back in 2016. And what it does, it gives us a baseline on where we are as far as storm preparedness. It also gives us an opportunity to register nationally to decrease our insurance flood zone rates.
I see.
So that's something that I think the girls from Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board is going to speak to us about.
It's called the Coastal Resilience Index. Okay.
Yes, yes. So that would be interesting to tune into because that's an opportunity to help the community decrease, well, like I said, their insurance rates as far as flood zones are concerned.
And when you say tune into, for folks that cannot attend the meetings in person at the Fairhope City Hall in the Council Chambers, you can watch the meetings live on the City of Fairhope YouTube channel, or you can watch them later as well. What is the advanced metering infrastructure update?
That's just the AMI. That's for our electrical. That's where we can meter and monitor our electrical things from our what we call SCADA. And these are meters that we'll be putting around town to gather our information as far as what our customers are doing and not doing.
Okay.
Collection.
All right.
Yes.
Anything else on that you want to mention?
Well, this would be cool because we've been working on this for a long time, and it's finally coming into fruition, and I think we're kind of coming up to date as far as the millennium is concerned. We're a little bit antiquated as far as how we're recovering our monies on a lot of these utilities, and this is a chance for us to come up to the millennial area.
With the advanced metering infrastructure?
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Or AMI?
Okay. Yes, yes, okay. Yes, yes, yes. So we're excited about that. Sometimes I think we're kind of leaving some monies on the table.
What do you mean by that? I'm not sure I understand.
Well, when we collect our bills, the meters, this is a meter.
Right.
That will automatically tell us who's not paying, who's paying, as far as people going by and reading the meters themselves.
Okay.
You know, so we don't have it. So this is manpower that we did not have.
Okay.
In technology.
I know that we have some of that technology
we
available.
Have some,
so
this
is an upgrade.
This is 100% an upgrade.
That makes
oh,
sense.
Oh, yeah.
And everything computerized.
Yes,
and
yes,
easier to
yes,
keep up with.
Yes, yes. So, yes, with the GPS and the SCADA systems, mm-hmm. this will all integrate for okay. us to see where everything is, who's not living there anymore, all that information.
Seems like I recall because every year y'all have to vote to write off unpaid bills. And it's a staggering amount.
Right. And we have insurance on that, but still,
yeah.
you know, this will help us kind of stay on top of
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yep,
right.
yep.
As we move on to the meeting agenda, unless there's anything else on the work session that you want to mention?
Let's see here.
Moisture control survey and HVAC for the Civic Center.
Yeah.
That's a presentation from
that's
our Public Works Director.
Yeah, that's
right.
just okay. for about our air conditioning system in the Civic Center. They probably want to do some type of engineering to see where we are with this antiquated HVACs that we have. But that's all that is.
Okay.
And then just the department head updates. So that's about it. Nothing really exciting going on. Just business as usual.
And the agenda is relatively short for the meeting. We can move on to that. Do you plan on announcing anything in council comments that you might want to give us a sneak preview of?
No. Nothing sits on top of my head right now that I have as far as council comments are concerned. We can talk about, I don't know what agenda item that is, but the Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board has another one on here that we have been pushing as far as the litter.
Number seven, that the city of Fairhope votes to procure litter booms and tactical cleanups.
This is something that the experts that we have in our committee, as far as our Fairhope Advisory Environmental Advisory Board, they've been working on for a while, and we were presented this maybe about a year ago. And Mobile has this. I don't know if you remember. This came out in Mobile.
I've seen them. The litter traps for Dog River.
Yes, exactly right.
I was thinking it must be similar.
It is the same deal. It's the same company, the same people, the same technology. But what it does is it allows us to capture the plastics and things like that from going into our bigger body waters as people continue to litter. So please stop littering. But this is going to help us kind of keep our bay safe and the fish and all the things in the estuary. So
you know
I'm excited
where,
about this.
Where they're going
yes,
to be
it'll
placed?
Be in the Winn-Dixie right there. I think we decided to do the first one in the wet pond right by the Winn-Dixie where we were going to put our electrical substation. You remember that?
Yeah,
before
but
we put it on the other side. But that area right
it's
there.
It's a permanent pond now.
Yeah, exactly.
Drainage, yeah.
Yeah.
So what about one for the bay? I mean, that was where I would presume.
Well, you want to capture it before it gets
to the
bay. These are
Everything runs downhill.
Yes, watershed, yeah. Yeah, so that's the thought. And I don't know. There were some other studies done as far as the most efficient or the most the best place to put these. And I think this was a starting place, but there's a study going on for other places that could use these, like Flat Creek and some other of our watersheds.
Yes.
That run into our bay.
It does say plural, booms and tactical cleanups.
That's right.
At a total annual cost not to exceed $27,000.
Yes. So that's a good investment for our health. Yeah.
Let's hop back up to number six to discuss to repeal and replace an ordinance concerning garbage and trash. Is this still concerning the commercial pickup and the changes in how their cans are charged?
Yeah, there were some amendments made to this particular ordinance. There was some concern that we were not charging as far as some of our business people in different areas had multiple cans, some is up to 10 cans, and it was just getting one fee for those. So I think they added a $5 charge for each additional can. I think they made the language clearer in this particular document as far as people living in subsidy housing and how that exemption works. They also made clear that all the citizens here will pay some type of refuse charge if you're a citizen or if you're annexed into the city. And I think that charge is about $10, regardless if you have a can or not.
But this is not an actual rate increase.
No, it's not. It's just making the language clear why they're getting their charge. So that was a little bit ambiguous. We had some community members that were concerned about that, saying that they were charged incorrectly. So now this ordinance is clear now of what those charges are and why they're being charged.
Resolution number 9 is amending a bid for additional repairs that were unanticipated to the wastewater system and materials needed to be purchased. This caught my eye because the additional cost is $158,000. That's a pretty large overage. Are you aware of what this is? why this is happening, or is it just the way of the world today?
Well, this combination of things. We had, as we was continuing to upgrade our wastewater management system, water and wastewater management system, this was more on the wastewater side. As far as our plant was concerned, as we recycled the water or cleaned the wastewater, we found that there were some additional things that had to be done in order to get to where we were trying to go originally, and there was no way of getting around it. So with the prices increase, this is what that dollar amount looked like. But this part was never in the original budget. But when they started doing the work, they found that they had to do this. So it's another change order is what it is.
Increases the total bid amount to $1.7 million.
From $1.5
million. Okay. Yes. All right. Like I said, there's just some regular old taking care of business, nothing real earth shattering on the agenda. I'm a little curious about number 15, that the city of Fairhope adopts a resolution in support of Thomas Hospital's request to the Certificate of Need Review Board for 30 additional beds. Does this mean adding another wing or an addition to the hospital, or do you know yet?
So that was I just had someone, a representative from Thomas, just text me because I wanted to find out more information on this, and they're just now getting back to me.
Okay.
But usually a certificate of need comes as far as an expansion when they find that the demographic is growing, or they find that their capacity is being stressed somehow to where they can't give the need of care that is intended for our community. And that usually falls in the surgical care beds, or med surge and the ICU beds, and ER. Usually those are where the numbers get crunched, ER, med surge, and surgical ICU. When they see that they're being overcapacitated because of the demographic, or they see that they're full and they have no extra beds, like when COVID hit, right, then they'll start looking into, hey, I think it's time for us to expand. And with the demographic, with us having about 68 people a day moving into Baldwin County.
68 people a day.
68 people a day. I think that's where the CEOs and presidents of that particular institution are looking into as far as their numbers are concerned. But once again, that's basic information. I have not spoken to that directly yet, and I have not heard this presentation. So, I wish I would have got this text about 20 minutes ago, and I could have gave you a little bit of what they were thinking.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, that's what they have here as far as it's the demographics. There may be some other things included in that as far as capacity, but I think I'm pretty sure about that, me doing anesthesia for about 20 years.
Right.
So, yeah.
You've got a little firsthand knowledge on that.
A little bit.
30 beds might not be enough.
No. So I wanted to talk. I was like, why 30? You know, yeah. So anyway, those are the kind of questions that I had as well, you know.
And there is an executive session, and I know you may not be able to speak about it, but it is a bit curious, to discussing security plans, procedures, assessments, measures, or systems, or the security or safety of persons, structures, facilities, or other infrastructures, the public disclosure of which could reasonably be expected to be detrimental to public safety or welfare. Somebody suing the city for tripping over a sidewalk or something?
Not sure.
Okay.
That's why we have to, yeah, I'm not sure, but there's probably some type of legalities or litigation, right, that's ongoing that they need to talk to us about.
And it's the reason it's an executive session,
right,
is because it will garner the privacy that, right, one of those calls for.
Right.
Okay.
So we don't really have those understandings yet.
Before we started, I was asking you, what else would you like to talk about other than what is on the agenda? Well, and you mentioned the triangle.
Yeah, so we have some projects in work. We got some pre-construction things that we have coming up. One of those is the Working Waterfront. That Restore Act Bucket 1, which 100% submitted, so that should be coming up as far as getting some bids out and things like that. That money is coming around the corner.
That's doing the Working Waterfront Restoration is doing some work to the pier and the parking area and the retaining walls, yes, etc. And the mobile, what do you call it? Not a shuttle, but the little device to get people up and down the hill.
Oh, yes, the little elevator. Escalator. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that work should get started soon. Those are in the works as far as pre-construction. The Triangle Improvement Project with the Go Mesa grant that we approved in council, we held a scope meeting and waiting for some proposals from design firms. We also had a RFQ for the urban forestry to develop the urban forest master plan for that particular property. So that's exciting. We're finally getting that going. I think once these forestries come in and tell us exactly what we have and identify the different species, we'll start moving a little bit faster. So I'm excited about that.
And that will remain a parkland.
In perpetuity.
With trails, et cetera.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And we'll have trails, and it's time for us to have some of that stuff in Fairhope. It fits Fairhope so well. But, you know, it's not just Fairhope. I mean, Mobile doesn't really have trails. You know, I was on a plane. I can't remember where I was coming from, but I was flying either east or west. I can't remember, but I sat next to someone, and they were like, you know, I've been down to Mobile. You know, you all don't have any trails. And so it's not just us. But I think we're working towards that to try to change that narrative. And I'm excited about that. Daphne's is starting. They have a trail system that they're implementing at their sports complex that I just read about. So it's starting to move, you know, putting park air, land and green space together for people to be healthy. You know, so that's a good thing. We're a bit slower down south, I can say that. So, but other cities have them already, but we're getting there. So I'm excited about that.
And it looks like Fairhope Avenue is open in time for back to school, which is Wednesday this week for our Baldwin County Public School kids.
Yep, that's Wednesday. You got it.
Anything else that you want to mention concerning our infrastructure projects? We did just have Jessica Sawyer in Wednesday, and she gave us a complete update.
Okay, good.
As the special projects manager. So
okay,
encourage folks to go back and listen to that if they missed it. It's posted on our website.
Yep. Okay. Very good. So, no, that's about it. If you know about all those things, you know, the roundabouts and.
Well, now, on the July 11th meeting, there were two roundabouts on the agenda. Let me see if I can put my fingers on it. One is the one at North Section and 104, or Veterans Drive at 104 and North Section. And it looks like that has been approved with LDOT, but it hasn't. Okay, no, you did hire Volkert for the professional engineering to get that in motion. Any idea when that construction might start?
I'm not sure exactly the date on that, but it is coming soon, for sure. There should be a scoping meeting within the next few weeks. As far as the scope is concerned. So within those, so I say within the month. How about that? 6 weeks.
Well, good. That's
4 to 6. Yes, yeah.
And that again is at Section Street and 104, there where the fat flower clock is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was actually the very first roundabout ever discussed and approved many, many years ago.
Right? Yes. It's finally coming. Yeah.
Good to see it coming.
And the clock, we're going to upgrade the clock. I don't know if that's an aesthetic thing. I don't know. We have Prius on here. I saw Christopher Prius. He's a landscape architect design. And that area right by the clock is going to get some architectural design. And I think it'll be more like a French look where you have open seats and a a little area there for people to sit, you know.
Glad you brought that up. Yep. I missed it. Number 11
yep.
mm-hmm. is for the council to approve the landscape architecture to get that clock park area, that green space.
Yes, yes.
A little more Fairhopean.
Yeah, a little jazzed up, you know. Okay. Good little aesthetic upgrade there.
Not to exceed $18,799.
Yep, that's just for his design. That's engineer design, that price for him to go and kind of give us what it looks like.
Yep. And if I recall, there's actually going to be some temporary seating or removable seating that can be,
yes.
Depending on what time of event we may have.
That's what I mean. That French, like a cafe French look.
Okay.
If I could give you an image, you know, if you've ever been to Paris, I'd have the little areas, you know, you can seat outside. That's the look they're looking for, I believe.
Okay.
Yep. So
very good.
Yep, just a couple things.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Fairhope City Councilman Corey Martin.
So welcome.
Fairhope City Council meets tonight at 6, work session at 4:30. And as we mentioned, you can watch it on YouTube live or later if you do not attend. Thanks again, Corey. Have a great
day. Thank you. Yeah, have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to catch this interview again, or you've missed part of it, or want to tell a friend, you'll be able to listen to it at WABF1480.com. And tomorrow, we will have Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us at 8:20 on Community Contact.